music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. So nice to have you with us on this July the 3rd on the West Coast, now July 4th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I suppose that it would be appropriate on this day, considering even though the West Coast and in Hawaii points west are yet to have reached this momentous day in our history, I should wish everyone, especially those out there in the military, a very happy Independence Day. I was thinking about this word independence this evening, and before bringing tonight's guest on, who also thinks it would be appropriate for us to talk about this day somewhat. I looked up the word independence in my trusty computer dictionary, and it states, independence is a noun, the fact or state of being independent. An example here in this sentence: Argentina gained independence from Spain in 1816. Another example: I've always valued my independence. And I suppose that Argentina may have gained independence from Spain in 1816, and the question that comes up is, did the United States of America gain independence from anyone in 1776? And might that have been the British Crown, Great Britain, England? What's the story there? There seems to be somewhat of a dichotomy from what we've learned about our true independence. And in light of what's going on today, I would even have to venture the question, or let's say proffer the question, are we independent from Israel? It appears not. Or are we independent from the central banks, which are foreign banks and are no more federal than Federal Express? And those of you who have used that service know quite well there's nothing federal about it other than a name. It should even raise the question, who owns Federal Express that they can use that name federal? And I think it's been determined that the Rothschild family, the Rothschild banking family, in Europe, owns Federal Express, and thus the high prices for special delivery of packages. But this word independence, we have a city in Missouri, east of Kansas City, named Independence. I wonder if they're independent there. And I wonder if we even contemplate what Independence Day is. Now, looking up the word or the words Independence Day as a holiday, it's a noun, of course, another term for 4th of July. So I wonder, are we independent on 4th of July and on the 3rd of July or the 5th of July? Are we interdependent or are we dependent? It's kind of interesting, but it says, a day celebrating the anniversary of national independence. Now that raises another question. What is national independence? Is it the independence of our nation from tyranny of another? Is it independent of itself? Are the people independent from the national independence or under the national independence? Raises a host of questions in my mind, and hopefully in yours, because it doesn't seem like we have independence, and yet we celebrate this day, sort of like sheep being led to the slaughter. We blow up firecrackers at night, fireworks light up the sky when it gets dark, symbolizing the war that occurred several hundred plus years ago. And then on top of that, we cook hot dogs and hamburgers, and we make a lot of noise. We play games. And then we go back on July 5th, back to the same old routine. And we have people out there today that are putting their lives out on the line under the auspice of giving us democracy or promoting democracy throughout the world. And we're told that we have democracy here in our country, yet our country was founded as a constitutional republic. We seem to have shifted in a different direction. And of course, if dependence, or I should say democracy, and creating or promoting democracy in foreign lands after we invade them, murdering millions of people, if that's what democracy represents, is that worth the price? Is it worth the price to those that survive the mass slaughter of innocent people for the benefit of the military-industrial complex and these banksters and these huge corporations that sell drugs and make munitions and make all the clothes and all the weapons and all the stuff that they can enrich themselves by selling huge government contracts to each other back and forth? Is it worth it to those that survive to experience this so-called or this alleged democracy? Think about that as you celebrate Independence Day on the 4th of July. Or if you merely just celebrate the 4th of July and not even consider what I've just brought forward. With that, I welcome back to Evident Footprints our resident science advisor. He has been our weekly guest since this show's inception. And he is a prolific scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, and our good friend, Mr. Jim Murray. Jim, welcome to the show tonight.
Thank you, Don, and happy 4th to you.
Thank you. Thank you. What are your thoughts on Independence Day, Jim, in light of what I've just said, or forget what I said, and just give us your own thoughts. What does it mean to you?
Well, you know, it's a very, very difficult question to answer in one succinct sentence because there are so many facets to what that holiday means to me. As a kid, of course, I was always happy about the coming of the 4th because it was reminiscent of our freedom from the oppression of England. And you have to understand that I came from a very patriotic family. My dad went out of his way to take us children to all the major battlegrounds in the Revolutionary War and in a Civil War scene, and, you know, to make sure that we were well enlightened and instructed as to what happened in each of those places and the purpose for all those things. And I don't mind telling you that when I was a kid and we used to recite the Pledge of Allegiance or be at a football game or something where they sang the national anthem, I was exceptionally proud and I would have trouble singing it because I'd get choked up just thinking about the words. But as I grew older and learned more, I realized that like so many things in life, the stuff we're told by our parents and the few little tidbits of truth that are dangled before us in grade school and in high school, they don't really cut the mustard. It's a long, long ways from the truth. And that brings us right back to the questions that you asked in your opening statement. Are we really free? Are we really independent from something? From anything? It's a question that the deeper you dig, the more unsettled you become. And so at this point in time, I'm very sad to say that the 4th of July and the so-called celebration of Independence Day has taken a 180-degree turn for me, because now what it sort of represents is the fact that we're right back where we started from, and perhaps in worse shape. That's the sad truth of it.
You know, that last statement you made brings home, no pun intended, the fact that when we had the Revolutionary War, we were basically being invaded from outside. Now, of course, you and I weren't here at that time, but if we go by the historical accounts that we get, Britain, even in allowing us to come here, you know, the King of England, financed the trip that the pioneers made here. So was it really people fleeing the oppression of the king and the oppression of the society that they had lived under for so long in England, or was it just a ruse to set up this illusion of freedom? I ask that question sort of rhetorically on the heels of a show I did on the 1st of this month, where I talked about God and God's creation, the universe, and why he created the earth, and why he put souls in bodies to live in a three-dimensional experience. And it was a very fundamental discussion, but I went on for about an hour and 45 minutes, probably to the dismay of the network. But I got a lot of positive feedback from people on the show. They felt that this was a topic that needed to be discussed. Many had asked me to actually sort of lecture on this. A couple of people said that it reminded them of a sermon, because I gave God the credit for everything. I mean, everything belongs to the Creator. It's a part of the oneness of creation. And we divide these events in history we compartmentalize them into little boxes and little envelopes whatever is a convenient hiding place. And if someone's fortunate enough to discover history, the truth about history, they become enlightened, and in the process of attempting to share this with the rest of humanity, they're shunned, they're ridiculed, they're demonized, they're attacked relentlessly, because there are certain people on this planet that don't want the truth to come out. And regardless of what we say about it or what we do or don't do about it, the truth still remains the truth. It remains unblemished in its original state. And I consider, or when considering the fact that God created this universe as a free will universe, is there really any need for an Independence Day? The necessity to celebrate the day under the illusion that we are free, when we are given free will by God and we are given a sovereign existence by the Creator. It's an oxymoron, isn't it?
Well, that's kind of a two-pronged thing, because the basic fundamental truth is definitely there, just as you described it. But unfortunately, on top of that is this ugly veneer, which has been deposited by the elite who want to control everybody and everything. And those people, in turn, mess with the fundamental truth and give us fundamental illusions, which confuse the issue and separate us from our God-given rights. And so it brings into play the concept of relativity. You know, you've got somewhere underneath all of this veneer, you've got the fundamental truth, and then you've got this relative truth. And it's relative to the world that they have designed and created, which is totally unnatural. But some people buy into it. And so, for those who buy into it, I'm sure they're convinced that they're living a truth. Mm-hmm. May not be the ultimate truth, but it is a truth.
Yes. Well, there's that potential to abuse that free will, isn't there? I mean, assuming, well, you know, yes, this is a free will universe, and I'm going to exercise my free will to impose it upon everyone else and enslave the masses. I mean, there seems to be a point where the usurpation of free will is contrary to God's laws. We have the law of cause and effect, which you began to describe in a sense without naming it as such. And I suppose God's retribution on mankind could certainly be based upon that one fundamental law, couldn't it?
Yeah, there's only one redeeming factor embedded in that whole thing, and that is that a lot of the people that are way off in left field who think that they're living truthful lives have been duped into being there. And so, in a sense, it's not their fault. And I think that the Creator is smart enough to know the difference between people that have been forced into a blind alley and the other individuals who are riding herd. There's a hell of a difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an interesting point you make there, too. And it again comes back to the ultimate judgment of the Creator as to how long he's going to put up with these games and these shenanigans and scams and obscenities against his creation, against the purity of his creation, and all done under the guise of truth, when in actuality it's everything but the truth, isn't it?
To say the least.
Yeah. Well, I in my talk on Monday, and I'm referring to this just as a frame of reference, okay? There are a lot of listeners that were tuned in that night, and hopefully there are tonight too, even with the holiday upon us. For those that are listening, I'm going to just highlight a few of the points from time to time, because, you know, that was one of those stream of consciousness moments where I could feel, for weeks prior to the first, I could feel that inner voice speaking to me, you know, don't book a guest for the show that night. You have a message that's coming forth. And so spend your time preparing for that. And I did. And yet I didn't say 99% of what I could have said. I laid a foundation for speaking about the purpose for us being here. And I addressed the issue of one discovering their purpose and then taking responsibility. You've heard me say this before, that on some level I know that we've made soul contracts, we've made agreements, or we've taken oaths to come here to perform a specific duty at this time in the world's history, after millennia and millennia and millennia of failure, at least in terms of holding our end of the bargain, and we've been given a special dispensation to correct that. And this may challenge certain aspects of what people understand and what they're willing to accept about the reality. You know, we have these sayings, well, you only live once. So because somebody made up that saying, that makes it true? Or you can't take it with you, but it is never described. You know, I suppose we're talking about the physical. And yet we have no inkling of what our power And I know this word means a lot to you, Jim, being in the power area of science and invention. We have the capacity, we have the power within us, if we can only awaken to tap into it and reestablish our connection, which we have either willingly or unwillingly or irresponsibly disavowed. It's the natural creation of all things in the universe and their relationship to each other that we've allowed to basically go down the trash bin or down the sewer. It's already been flushed, basically, and we're just moving in the direction of where it's going to find a place to deposit itself. I raise the issue that the Earth is not going to wait for that to happen. Earth is not waiting for that to happen. The Earth is changing right now. And so are people. I am seeing people awaken to what's going on politically, economically, religiously, educationally. The four basic precepts of controlling a society have been turned against us, and that's starting to change. I'm getting more and more indication from people of all walks of life and different ages, different generations that are realizing what's going on. We can't expect our children to come here and fix things. They didn't come here to do that. It's up to us to be responsible for what we've broken and repair that. And politically, our so-called leaders, legal or not, are destroying everything that's been built up over the past, 232 years, something like that, since this Independence Day was declared. And are we independent? I don't think so. We're not interdependent either. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to agree with you. I don't think we're independent at all. As a matter of fact, it goes a lot deeper than people realize. I mean, just think about this scenario. How long could New York City last without thousands of semis rolling in every day with all types of supplies, food, clothing, toilet paper, every other imaginable item that is consumed by that massive island. And that's only one city, So, when you stop and think about it, who owns the trucks? Who owns the companies that are supplying all that stuff? What would happen if they stopped rolling? How independent do you think you'd feel after a week of having no supplies, nothing to buy, nothing to eat? I don't think we're very independent at all. You want a good example of someone who's independent? I can think of some really beautiful places up in the northern peninsula of Michigan, up in the Iron Mountain Range, where people have a beautiful garden. It flourishes from about the 1st of April or maybe, the 2nd or 3rd week of April, depending on the temperature, until the following September or so, and they can all their own food. They collect firewood all summer. They have one little car that they use to get to the post office now and then or to town. And the rest of the time, they hunt, they fish, and they live off what they grew during the summer. And they don't give a rip whether the trucks are rolling or not. So who's independent? Which of those two situations are independent? I mean, they don't even have electricity. And they don't miss it. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you stop and think about it, even from the point of view that circumvent the political definition, everything is designed to get a hook into you. You know, every convenience that you've been taught to love and pay for is all part of keeping you on the merry-go-round or the conveyor belt or the treadmill or whatever you want to call it. And basically, you're on the wheel from the time that you're old enough to earn a buck until the time that you croak. And even after that, for that matter, because there's a whole lot to do about you, even after you're gone, that somebody winds up paying for.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's an amazing thing that nobody gets it. You know, keep on talking about all these freedoms. Where are they? You know?
Yeah, and it raises a bunch of more a bunch more questions, many more questions. If we go back to this concept that God gave us free will, and let's say that in the highest interpretation of that free will, that means that no other person can usurp that free will. No one can take that free will away from you. What gives this select group the audacity or the authority to claim ownership of the planet? I mean, would there be a reason for us to be here if they own the planet? You know, it's like a house. You buy a house, you live there. How do you feel when you come home and there's another family living in your house? Or some burglars or a gang or, you know, your next door neighbor just decides, hey, I like your house. I'm gonna just make myself comfortable. I'm gonna take it over. And you have to take it from me. But guess what? I've got some other neighbors in the neighborhood that are willing to jump you and beat the living daylights out of you should you try to take your house back from me. But we've got this going on under the color of law, under the authority of law, with protection of the legal system and government agencies and bureaucracies and banks, and they call it business. You know, the same thing is going on. What gives these people the right? I know the answer to the question, but I'm asking it in a rhetorical sense. In the highest interpretation of what free will is, if I have free will and you have free will, under no circumstances am I to impinge upon your free will. Does that not make sense, Jim?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's the old story of you can do whatever you want to do as long as it doesn't infringe on somebody else's rights. And, you know, left to its own devices, that works pretty nicely as long as you have decent human beings.
Well,
you know,
when
you get a scoundrel in the bunch who says, well, I don't give a rip about your rights, I'm just going to do what I want to do and try and stop me if you can.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different story.
That's what this illusion has turned into on this planet. This is, again, a fundamental observation of what life on planet Earth is like. But there are so many other forces going on, and I talked about these things. The Earth, you know, I discussed the fact that the Earth is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
It's turning at 1,000 miles an hour, and there's some intelligence that's keeping our feet planted on the ground. I mean, literally, you know, in terms of that force. I'm not speaking rhetorically now, because there are plenty that seem to not be able to keep their feet planted on the ground. But we don't even question how it is that we can stay on the planet. Well, science tells us, well, there's gravity, and that's holding you down. Well, if gravity is such a powerful force that it can hold me down at my weight, how is it that it can't hold a little bird down? There seems to be something not making sense there. That the little bird, a little sparrow or a little finch, would be much weaker and therefore more confined by the force of gravity, if gravity was what they say it is, right? We don't even contemplate the fact that we're spinning at 1,000 miles an hour and we don't fly off the planet into space.
Oh, and that's only one of our velocities.
Yes,
there are many.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're traveling at an even higher rate of speed when you calculate the velocity of the Earth in its annual orbit around the Sun. And an even higher rate of speed when you calculate how fast the Sun is moving around the outside of our galaxy and dragging all its planetary systems with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you add all these things up, there's some pretty hairy velocities going on here.
And the solar system and the galaxy and on and on, right?
Well, there's probably, God only knows how many degrees of freedom there are if you start to count them. And they are all associated with motion. And so, you know, we're talking about a multiplicity of forces and directions and velocities that the average mind can't even comprehend. So they're almost better off not knowing.
And yet, at that same time now, all of this creation that you're describing here operates with an intelligence. On the past show, you talked about grids. And how things sort of manifest within a grid, that there are certain conditions that line up to produce a particular reality, whether it's dimensional or interdimensional. These things go on despite what we do. They don't need our guidance. They don't need our interference. In fact, our interference disrupts it.
Sure.
And it seems that out of all of that wondrous glory and magnificence of creation and how much intelligence there is out there, this place has got to be the cesspool of in terms of how it's being used, okay, of the universe. And any other place where this is going on in a three-dimensional reality, that those that control everyone else or everything on this planet have brought it down to this level speaks volumes of their intelligence, doesn't it? And, of course, I'm being a bit sarcastic in saying that. That in their wisdom and their shrewdness and their conniving secret ways of hoodwinking the public into believing in illusions instead of just knowing the truth. Wouldn't it, if they're into taxation, wouldn't it make more sense that they could collect more taxes if the populace was more productive? Right? I mean, by transitive property, they would collect more taxes. And if people were living above their means, or I should say within their means, but capably within their means, that they could save money and not be concerned about spending money if they were experienced prosperity and natural abundance, the abundance of the Creator, they wouldn't even have to have taxes, would they?
Probably not, but you're looking at it from the ideal perspective. You have to look at it from their perspective.
What's wrong with looking at it from the ideal perspective?
Nothing, except that it doesn't explain their behavior. And their behavior is because they are literally at the other end of the spectrum. You know, if you stop and think about it, a person with a severe lack of self-worth, always paints a grandiose picture of himself because it's a protective mechanism. It allows him to believe that he amounts to more than he does. So, you know, all of these people who classify themselves as the elite, what good are they? Let's take an example. I mean, without using any names, pick anybody you want to pick in the whole area of Washington, D.C., and tell me what good one of those individuals actually produces. They can't do anything but lie, cheat, and steal. They can't produce anything. They don't know anything outside of the reptilian thinking that allows them to fulfill the functions that they're good at. And that's true of the whole bloody mess of them. They have actually perpetuated the illusion that we can't get along without them. But the truth of the issue is they can't get along without us. I guarantee you, if you dropped me in the Canadian wilderness with nothing but an axe or a knife, I would survive. I guarantee it. Now let's try that with some yo-yo that's used to sitting behind a big mahogany desk jabbering on the phone all day long about nothing. He'd find his bones. Because he can't do anything to begin with. When people realize that, if they ever do, then they'll start to appreciate freedom. Mm-hmm. The problem is that with that realization goes a whole other line of thought that most people don't want to entertain. And that is that if you discard all that nonsense, which doesn't amount to anything to begin with, then you have to take care of yourself. There is no such thing as government-sponsored health care. There is no such thing as Social Security. There is no such thing as, you know, government-sponsored education. There is no such thing as all that nonsense that they've been forcing down your throat for the last 150 years. It's back to the real world. And what's so bad about that? Do you know that back in the time of the so-called Revolutionary War, where you began this presentation tonight, the average individual was expected to know carpentry, blacksmithship, or however you say it, a good deal about the environment, farming, a great deal about the Bible, and an enormous amount of law. And they were pretty much self-sufficient, which is demonstrated just by the way they lived. They had a lot of communities, of course, that interacted and produced things for one another, but you didn't have Uncle Sam involved with everything that you do. Now, if you were to take just the one aspect of that, never mind all of the other self-supporting talents that they may have possessed, but just focus in on law. How many people today could represent themselves intelligently in court? How many people today really understand what kind of a legal system we have? How many people know the difference between a law and a statute? You know, how many people know anything about anything? It's frightening. And the real interesting thing is, it wouldn't take that much of a calamity or that much of an adjustment to push everybody back 5, 6, or maybe even 1,000 years away from what we're used to, back into the harshness of reality the way it used to be. Wouldn't take much at all. And people should really think about that.
Well, the way our legal system is, and this is just a comment on your comment about the intelligence that might you know, help propel one through that maze of intrigue and deceit and corruption, one doesn't need intelligence to operate in the legal system. One only has to face the worst or the best of two choices they're given to extricate themselves from a matter. And in either case, the system wins. That is, unless one has apprised themselves of the true nature of the Constitution and the true nature of our country. When I asked about our independence, of course, Jim, you knowing what I know about our government and about corruption in our government and the lies that we've been told throughout history, that this never was intended to be a free country. Take the abolition of slavery as an example. This proclamation, the Emancipation Proclamation, it was called, was read, and sometime after that, the man that delivered that speech was assassinated. Was he independent? I think not. And so, were we independent? And to say, to make the proclamation that they freed the slaves, did that stop slavery? In fact, while using one race of people as an example, and by the way, these were Americans now we're speaking about, and I'm speaking about the Negroes that were freed. Today they're referred to as black people, even though many are brown, and various shades in between white and black. I've not yet seen a black person on the planet, to tell you the truth. Not as I know the color black, and yet we use these terms that represent who we are by the color of our skin. Are we not all creations of God? All of us, regardless of the color of our skin. Is there any reason to have to free a people based on their race, based on their nationality, their ethnicity, their creed, or lack of? Is there any real reason to have to free anyone? And yet,
well, there shouldn't be. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, the individual hailed for having done so actually was a Republican president. And yet, the black population favors the Democratic Party. They were the ones that had enslaved them. You know, we have these dichotomies, and people are so unaware of the realities of history and these events. Yet, at the same time, while they told us they freed the slaves, they enslaved the whole of humanity at the same time.
And well, of course. They make it look like progress, you know.
Yeah.
So the black people are freed, and everybody is happy, but then along comes a new form of slavery, which is not so obvious because there are no chains, no whips, you know, no forced labor, but it's all done through the banking system. And how many people realize that their children, and themselves for that matter, because this goes back quite a ways, all their birth certificates are offered up as chattel against the national debt. You really think you're free? How many people know that their birth certificate is bundled up with tens of thousands of others and offered as chattel or security or whatever term you want to use against the national debt? A debt which we, the people, didn't create.
Mm-hmm.
It was created artificially by a corporation that gives the illusion of being a government.
Yes. And all of this is done with the, how do I want to say this? You know, it's implied, is what I'm trying to say. It's implied, and it has no real substance to it. It's just more rhetoric. And, you know, since I brought up Lincoln, over the past couple of days, I was thinking about this whole thing. And you've heard the stories about Lincoln had a secretary named Kennedy, and Kennedy had a secretary named Lincoln, and there were all of these so-called coincidences between the two. And I wonder if anyone even went so far as to consider how these two presidents were assassinated. The Lincoln. Why is another issue, and we can come to that. But Lincoln was assassinated, as I recall, in history class, in the Ford Theater. And Kennedy was assassinated riding in a Lincoln, which is made by Ford. Kind of an interesting point. I'd never heard anyone mention that. I've heard him mention Ford Theater, heard him mention the Lincoln, but never made that connection in making those comparisons. And it speaks volumes. You know, the Lincoln is made by Ford, as I said. So there's a connection there, but it's an outside connection. And it shows that we aren't independent. It shows that we would allow foreigners and this military-industrial complex, the international banking system, the usury fiat system, to take out our leaders, people that were loved and revered for their accomplishments, whether they were faultless or not, whether they were saints, is another issue. None of us are saints, but the point is that they're built up to be these icons, these examples of greatness in leadership. And how great were they when they were taken out by criminals? So this, you know, I wanted to make that point because we fall so much into this emotional attachment of how great these men were, and if they were so great, why were they so dispensable? And to whom were they considered to be so dispensable? Refuse, basically. Something to be flushed down the drain.
Well, in order to answer that question, in each case, you have to know the real reason why they were shot. I mean, if you stop and think about it, Lincoln was assassinated, among other reasons, to prevent him from signing off on the War Powers Act after the end of the Civil War, which left the presidency holding an enormous amount of power, which was only supposed to be delegated to that office during times of national emergency. Now, the French are a little bit smarter than we give them credit for, because their constitution is designed in such a way that if they have a war with anybody, the War Powers Act, on their terms, is automatically instated, and it automatically is repealed at the end of the war. But in our case, it has to be done manually with a signature on a document. And so by putting a bullet in Lincoln's brain, he never signed off on that, the repeal of the War Powers Act, which left the presidency holding an abnormally large amount of power all these years. Did you ever wonder why everything's done by executive order? Congress has nothing to say about it, or at least very little. Whatever the president wants to do, he does. That's abnormal. That's not the way the system was set up. But it's allowed simply because of the fact that we're still operating under a quasi-military situation, which is traceable back to the fact that the War Powers Act was not repealed after the close of the Civil War. And as far as Kennedy, the reason that he was assassinated was because he wanted to try and return to the gold standard. And he was actually in the process of producing gold-backed treasury notes as opposed to these useless FRNs, which we're playing around with now.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody said, well, we can't have that. Get rid of him.
Yeah, and I recently heard that he had printed up at least $2 billion to be put out into circulation in the first release of those funds.
Oh, I actually saw some of them, and they were very interesting because they didn't say a Federal Reserve note. They said U.S. Treasury note or else gold certificate, depending on which issue you want to talk about. And they also had a red seal on the bill, which, of course, is absent from our normal greenbacks. And anybody that's got one has got a very rare collector's item because they were recalled and disappeared from the public scene almost immediately after Kennedy's death.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you stop and ask those questions, so why were they expendable? They were expendable because they stepped outside their bounds as far as the ruling elite was concerned. So there again, we're back to the opening statements that you made on tonight's show, and that is, are we independent? Were those guys independent? You know, was Lincoln independent? You know, what's interesting about Booth, the guy who shot Lincoln, was married into the Rothschild family. Isn't that an interesting coincidence?
Mm-hmm. And every time we have an assassin, they have three names. Do you ever notice that?
I don't keep track of assassins, but now that you mention it, yeah.
Well, I mean, we've had celebrities murdered. John Lennon, it was John David Chapman. It wasn't just John Chapman, you know, or John D. Chapman. No, they have to give us these full names. There's a sort of a ritual involved in this, you know, that every time someone has murdered someone else. Well, now, when they take out their own, you know, we had Lee Harvey Oswald. At least that was the patsy for the Kennedy murder.
Right.
And it's been, described as far as Lincoln's assassination that Mary Lincoln herself would have been the most likely culprit, that they had found a derringer at his side, a lady's derringer. And it was the one belonging to Mary Todd Lincoln. So we have three names there, too, you see. And my research into Lincoln led into something else. You brought up a very valid point with the Rothschilds. Would you consider the fact that Lincoln himself may have been a Rothschild or related in some way?
What really, really bothered me when I was a kid, my dad used to read to me about Lincoln. And I still have very vivid pictures in my mind about the log cabin he grew up in and, you know, splitting rail fences and all of these interesting things and how he worked so feverishly to get his law degree and, you know, all these wonderful things. But then lately, and I would say within the last 5 years or so, I have read other versions of Lincoln's life written by other people who have researched him in ways that were perhaps not available when I was a kid. And some of the stories that come out of the woodwork are frightening.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've written some of those findings in my research, within my articles. I discovered that Lincoln's real name was given to him by a man by the name of Leroy Springs. Leroy Springs was an agent for the Rothschilds. And his real name was Springsteen. Now, there's also an accounting of Lincoln having fathered a child through one of two princesses from Denmark. So it shows that there was a European connection. Do you hear this at all in any accounts? I suppose that this took place in Denmark. It really wouldn't matter, though, where it took place, other than the fact that it took place. And that Leroy Springs, as the agent, himself had a son, which put him as an ancestor to Howard Hughes. So throughout our history, we have all these characters that rise to this great prominence in owning these big companies. Do you think Howard Hughes actually knew how to build an airplane or even get into aerospace, the aerospace industry? Basically, his demise was very much like Lincoln's demise, wasn't it? They moved in and they took over the corporation. And they gave the public this story that he was in a theater, and he very well, and again, he was in a theater too, you see. Insane, a recluse, long hair, long fingernails, filthy clothes, not bathing for weeks or months at a time. Renting movies. He owned movie theaters, and he owned a film company.
He owned the hotel he was in.
Yeah. So we hear, how does a person rise to that kind of prominence unless they're not playing some role in aiding and abetting this independence that we have? It's amazing. And to me, these things ring truer. It explains why these guys have such demises.
Well, look at Tesla. Now, there was a guy who was a genuine genius and had to struggle his whole life and never really rose to extraordinary prominence. I mean, he was well known and appreciated to a certain extent during his time, but he was never allowed to become wealthy, and in the end he was murdered. So, it's not about what you know. It's about how you play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And people should remember that, when they start to consider the rulers that we have in Washington right now. What game are they playing?
Well, we're seeing parallels to history, certainly, right now. I would have to say, never in this country's history, with all the shenanigans that have gone on in this country, even before our so-called independence, our declared independence, the reality of the relationship that we had to the King of England, and when I say we, I'm speaking of this secret government, the secret deals that were worked out, the Virginia Company and the New England Company, and its secret covert connection to the British Crown and the City of London and the central banks in Europe, and then subsequently those banks were brought over here. In light of all that, we've been lied to from day one. We've been given all of these feel-good songs and all of these feel-good rituals. Not even told that when we put our hand on our hearts while we're saying the Pledge of Allegiance, that we're exercising a Masonic ritual. Belying what we're supposed to be, what putting your hand on your heart is supposed to represent. And then what are we putting our hands on our heart to? On a flag with 13 stripes representing these 13 elite Illuminati families. We're paying homage to those that have enslaved us. It's insane. And I'm not saying people shouldn't be patriotic by any means, but what are we being patriotic to? And let us not forget the indigenous Americans that were here. When these people came from wherever they came, in the name of freedom, they murdered millions of people that were here before us. Again, there's another example of God's free will being corrupted.
Yeah, and that was all done under the excuse of eminent domain. They had the right. They had the right to take that land. They had the right to defend their propagation westward. No matter how many murders it took. You know, I mean, some of the stuff that went on with germ warfare and, you know, blankets that had been imported from hospitals in Europe infected with measles and syphilis and every other thing, and then were given as gifts to the Indians so that they could enjoy a pandemic. Now, what's interesting is, you know, those people who do understand that that kind of stuff was done, and how come they can't make the connection to the sudden problems that we have with all these occurrences of new diseases and all of the problems with these viruses and other things that just suddenly appear? Do you really think that nature works that way? Or do you think it's another form of infected blanket? You know, people don't connect the dots, Don. They just don't connect the dots.
Yeah, and I do, and I know you do, and I connect the dots. At least I attempt to every show I do, and in every piece I write. All of my research is about connecting the dots, and even when I present the picture with the connected dots, so few actually see it.
Well, I think part of the problem is that they don't want to see it, because it would be too horrible for the average person to accept the fact that all wars are planned, that mass genocide is arranged, you know, that slavery is rampant worldwide under a different form, that our government is nothing but a bunch of thugs and liars. I mean, it's a lot easier for them to just close off all of that out of their minds and continue to be immersed in this bubble of isolation where they believe they're free, happy Americans.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that bubble will burst. All bubbles burst.
I think it already has burst, actually. you know, in listening to your last statement, I'm thinking of how we've recently invaded, and I by no means is this a limited list. This is the short list of Iraq and Afghanistan. Under the guise of spreading democracy, yet, this is what they tell the people there, this is what they're telling the rest of the world, and they damn well make sure that we hear this in some way, that they're furthering democracy throughout the rest of the world. They're guaranteeing other people's right to vote, though we have corrupt elections, other people's right to be free, though we're enslaved, and expected, because of what these jerks do, we're now to rescue them financially, while we are being raped financially ourselves. While the money's being stolen, we're also expected to undo the damage that they create, which can never be done. What price do you put on a life? They put $1 million on a person. Boom. Everybody in this country is worth $1 million. So how many trillion dollars is that? Like you said, you know, they from the day you're born, you have a cash value, and that's calculated throughout your lifetime. And they determine this. They determine the statistics and the probability of you living to that extent because they're controlling everything that affects how long you'll stay alive. That's as long as you're living within their illusion, within this matrix, this reality that they've created, where their intention is to have everything adhere to that calendar. And yet they turn around and tell us that they're over there for our national security. Why aren't they there for the spreading democracy? That's what they just said.
Well, you see? But you know that the real key to understanding what's going on is to realize that, you know, one of the most telling things that a person can do is to go out and find a copy of the 6th edition of Black Law's Dictionary and start looking up the meaning of words. And then you find out that what they've done really is they've conditioned you to the use of certain words, and by the grouping of those words into well-constructed sentences, they are effectively telling the truth when they are telling a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can understand that, you'll be one step ahead of them. Well, a perfect example is the spread of democracy. They're telling the truth. They are spreading democracy. And they're doing it as best they can. But what is democracy?
Yes.
Democracy is not what this country was founded on. As you pointed out earlier, it was supposed to be a republic if we could hold on to it. Democracy is nothing more than mob rule. And guess what? That's what we got. A mob at the helm. You know?
Yes. Which is why I drew the analogy I drew. I'm asking these questions rhetorically. Obviously, I know what it, you know, it's a game, isn't it? It's
a game.
And it's like the corner shyster that sets up his little card table and he gets out 3 shells and a pea and plays the hide and seek game. You know, guess where it is. And when he's palming the pea, it doesn't matter how he moves the shell. When he's going to lift the shell, nothing's going to be under it. Nothing's going to be under any of them. And he can easily replace the pea under any of the other remaining shells without you seeing it. Because he's predicted and he's rehearsed what your reactions are going to be. Sleight of hand, attention, or inattention, shock value, the coming to grips with having lost a sum of money. You see, and is that game any different from what the banks do? Or is it any different from what the government does or what the legal system does? Absolutely not. It's a game. It's a game of illusions, definitions, as you said, interpretations of language.
And it's also a game of chance because, you know, they do take a certain risk when they set these systems up as to whether or not they'll be discovered or not.
Mm-hmm.
And they figure, well, if we're discovered that early on, you know, some of our representatives will get their wrists slapped, then we won't really lose anything. But if we're not discovered, look at the fraud we can perpetuate from these suckers and for how many years. You know, when the what was the name of that island where they framed the concept for the Federal Reserve?
Jekyll Island.
Yeah, how long ago was that now? That's already back in the 18-somethings, right? They did that over. And they took a gamble. Everything they did was in secret. They took trains there. They came under phony names. They came there with disguises. They made believe they were hunting and fishing. They did everything not to attract any attention because they knew that what they were doing was criminally wrong, and they didn't want any chance of being caught. But they took the gamble because they realized that if they got away with it, that they would have the largest reaping of a con that had ever been established in the history of modern man. And they have gotten away with it.
Well, and they've had Jekyll, and we forget about Hyde, don't we?
Yeah, but Hyde takes on another word. I mean, another meaning when you use it in conjunction with Jekyll Island, because
yes.
Everything is hidden.
Well, yes,
so
yes.
There was the intent to hide.
Well, but now it's we're going to take it out of their hide. you see,
I like that.
we're revealing the truth here, and they don't like that, okay? But that's their problem, because, and that's the point I made the other night on the first when I did my monologue, is that the truth is the truth, and it doesn't matter what they do and how they try to hide it, eventually the truth is going to come out. The truth is going to make itself known. And the big question is, how long is it going to take mankind to wake up? Now, from what I hear from my listening audience, which is now worldwide, Jim, and I hear from people in Russia, Ireland, England, Scotland, France, Germany, Spain, the Netherlands, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, Bulgaria, Russia, China, Australia, New Zealand, and of course I get the obligatory emails from the Nigerian computer whizzes, but those are always business opportunities, you know.
Of course.
But these people are awake, and what they can't comprehend, or at least I think they're learning. They're learning through this show. They're learning, hearing guests like you and the many others that I have on the show reveal the truth in their own way, in their unique ways, through their research, through their experience, their discernment of what's going on. They're learning that there are people that are waking up or are awakened and are doing their damnedest to get others to awaken, because they have said, and I have said this from the outset, what is keeping the world free in the vaguest of senses is the fact that there's an aspect to being an American and living in this country where they haven't taken the guns from us, you see. And so in that respect, we still have some freedom. But it's...
Well, they're sure working on that issue.
Well,
and
I know.
Speaking of curtailing our freedoms, I don't know if you know this or not. I thought I sent you an email about this. Maybe it didn't go out. But Obama is doing his level best to establish a sanction against talk radio.
Oh, I'm aware of that.
I wonder why.
Why? Because the truth comes out on talk radio? Actually, you know, the Illuminati invented talk radio. You know, they began doing this through AM. It's their invention. Now they want to outlaw their own invention? Come on. Well, now they're going to take away freedom of speech? Well, the First Amendment? It's a direct affront to the First Amendment, is it not?
Well, what else is new, you know? I mean, they're already establishing thought police.
Yeah, okay. Well,
they don't like the way you think.
My thought right now, Jim, is where's the birth certificate? That's my thought, okay? That's the first order of business. Where's your birth certificate?
Well, I know where mine is.
Well,
I wonder
you
who
know,
you're referring to.
Well, I'll give you two guesses.
okay, I don't need two. I only need one.
I mean, come on. You see, when you are thinking outside the box, okay, or you're aligning yourself with truth and you're aligning yourself with God's free will, I'm inclined to exercise what God gave me, as anyone else in this country should, and anyone else in the world should, regardless of what what political dictatorship they're living under, or economic dictatorship, or military-industrial complex dictatorship, pharmaceutical dictatorship, or petroleum dictatorship, educational or religious dictatorship. Wake up, people, and smell the coffee. It's not as complex as we make it. They turn around. You know, why are they throwing all these things out? To create fear, to create confusion, to cause people to become complacent. Oh, I better not say anything, or they're going to do this, or they're going to do that. While they continue on with their corrupt activities. Robbing from the poor and giving to the rich, you know? Even the story of Robin Hood is a dichotomy. It's a lie, you see? Rob from the rich and give to the poor. You know? And they try to explain away every perversion ever created by mankind as something to be protected by their corrupt laws. Where is the decency in that? Protecting pedophiles? Why? Because they are the pedophiles? Excuse me. Can you imagine the rage of a parent whose child has been stolen, kidnapped, and stolen, sold into the sex industry, and sees a picture of them on TV or in a magazine or a newspaper or on the internet related to one of these politicians in some whorehouse that they've created for themselves where they practice their satanic perversions? Can you imagine the rage of those parents?
No, I can imagine the rage. As a matter of fact, as I pointed out to you, I think that one of their biggest downfalls is going to be the fact that they don't realize how much pent-up rage there actually is. The problem has always been that nobody knows who the enemy is. But when they find out that their own government is the enemy for almost every single thing that they have to gripe about, including all the people that they have loved and lost in the last five or six wars, I think that there's going to just be absolute pandemonium. Washington will be leveled. There'll be somebody hanging from every tree and light lamppost imaginable.
Yeah.
And that's what they're really afraid of. That's why the truth can't come out, because their necks are at stake.
And they're creating and passing laws prohibiting parents from disciplining their children. But they can abduct those children and rape them and sodomize them and drug them and experiment on them.
And murder them.
And murder them. And
yeah, because they're property of the state, you see.
Yeah. And where does God fit into all this? Where does the Creator fit into this?
Well, the Creator has been very conveniently siphoned out of the whole picture. I mean, you know, I've watched it happen, especially over the last 30 years or so, where everything that's decent and holy and revered has slowly been extracted from the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to me the way it works. You have one miserable human being that comes out of the woodwork and says, I'm an atheist, and you have a Christmas display on your lawn that's offending me. And so naturally, all the wheels of government have to turn to eliminate that from ever happening again. When, you know, the right way to look at it is say, hey, listen, Mac, if you don't like it, lump it. Go move somewhere else. Don't look at it. There's lots of things all of us don't like. We put up with it every day. But you see, that's not really why it happens. It happens because it's part of the agenda.
Sure.
Where else can you find some miserable moron that probably doesn't know his behind from his elbow? He can come out of the woodwork. He can come out of the woodwork and set wheels in motion that cause the Ten Commandments to be removed from public buildings, Christmas creches never to be displayed in public, and on and on and on. Why? Because he's an atheist? How can his religious rights eclipse the religious rights of everybody else unless that's what they really wanted in the first place?
Yeah, well, these are all affronts to God, ultimately, aren't they? They're affronts to God, they're affronts to his son, they're affronts to the truth. And you know, Jim, while you were talking, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm visualizing this show going to 2,000 planets out in our galaxy. And there are some people rejoicing over the fact that this level of consciousness, even though we're talking about the lowest vibrations, I think, that exist in the universe, they're rejoicing in the fact that we're addressing this and confronting it head on. And not to mention the 574 planets represented in the United Galactic Federation that listen to this show and beam this show up to those planets in different languages. So there's
it's the same old story in Don, you know. In the neighborhood that I grew up in, there was always some punk that would come up to you and rough you up and ask you if you had a quarter or a nickel or a dime or a dollar or whatever he could get out of you. And if you succumb to that, you'll be on the give for the rest of your life as long as you stay in that place. But, you know, most of us grow up and toughen up to that. And you pick up a club and you break a few skulls and you stand up for the right thing. And that necessitates a head-on collision. See, that's the thing that people don't get. There's no gentle, tender, circumvented way of dealing with a bully. There just isn't. The only thing they understand is the 2x4 alongside the skull. That's what they understand. That's what they respect. If you don't give them that, they'll always gravitate towards the upper hand and they will never change. And decent people, this is, you talk about dichotomies. The most interesting dichotomy is the fact that decent people, by their very nature, really don't want confrontation. They want to be left alone to do their thing, to support their families, to attend to their jobs, and it really upsets them and ruffles their feathers to have to stand up and confront somebody. But they better get used to it, because our freedoms are slipping away at a fantastic rate, especially lately. I mean, that guy in Washington is writing as fast as his hands can move. There's executive orders just spilling off his desk like a runaway roll of toilet paper.
Well, he's writing as, if I can correct you, and this is just constructive criticism, he's writing as fast as the teleprompter will let him.
Well, the point is that we have to stand up to these people, and we better do it soon.
Yes. Well, Jim, we're out of time. I could go on several more hours with this discussion because we're touching upon a lot of things. And why did we do this? Well, we're trying to shine the light of the truth on the darkness and reveal to people what's really going on. Many of our listeners already know this, but it bears repeating. If that were not the case, you'd only see a TV commercial one time. You'd buy the product, they'd sell it out, everybody'd go home happy and rich. And you'd have your toy or your trinket or your cheeseburger. But it doesn't work that way. It takes a while to sink in. And they've actually created the model for how fast they want something to sink in and under what terms. And so hopefully those that are awake are going to do their part, share in the responsibility of awakening others. What better way to do it than on Independence Day? If you truly feel that you are free, then act like it. That's my concluding remark. Any way you would care to close your half of the show, Jim?
I really think you hit the nail on the head. You know, when we gained our so-called independence from England, the fact of the matter is every U.S. citizen was a sovereign, not a slave. And that could still be true today if you're not afraid to play the part.
Yes.
And so you hit the nail right on the head.
Well, and so did you, Jim. So I thank you for your contribution on this 4th of July show. And I wish everyone out there in the listening audience a wonderful holiday. All the soldiers out there in the military, all the different branches of the military, we wish you safety, God's peace, God's love, God's light, and a safe return home. In Godspeed. And Jim, I look forward to your next appearance next Friday on Evident Footprints. Thank you so much for your insight, your wisdom, and all of your courage.
Well, it doesn't take that much courage to stand up for what you love. And I really do love this country, and I don't want to see it go down the drain where it's headed right now.
Yes. Well, Jim, you have a great weekend. Enjoy the holiday, and I look forward to seeing you next week.
Same to you, Don. Take care. Look forward to our next chat.
Okay. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. Special thanks not just to Jim Murray, our resident science advisor, and tonight our spiritual counselor and our reverend. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Don Newsom also did the sound tonight. Sound was great again, Don. Thank you. Seth Hendrick will be back with us next Monday. Don't fret, folks. He's enjoying his vacation. I wish everyone a wonderful 4th of July. Be safe. Don't do anything crazy with the fireworks. They are illegal. And most of all, to you and the listening audience, I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.